I am Chris Ruggiero. Welcome to my show. This episode is with Denny Corby.
Welcome to the Chris Ruggiero podcast.
Welcome, first-time listeners, and welcome back to all the people who tune in and check out every episode. We've been getting slowly but surely more listeners every episode, so I know that's because you guys are awesome and tell your friends. So if you like the show and you think you know somebody who might enjoy the show, tell them, send them a link, tell them you can listen to it on iTunes, on my website, or probably wherever else you listen to podcasts, you can get it, because it's a podcast that is on the internet. I have a new book, which you can order on my website, the same website that you can listen to this podcast, which is chrisruggiero.com. If you want to check out the book, go to chrisruggiero.com. There's a little button up there on the top that says book, or if you want to go straight there and skip a step, you can go chrisruggiero.com/book. The book is called Just Go. It's about not only thinking about doing cool things, but taking that step to take action and go, you know, just go. That's the title of the book, because I want people to go and do things. Like I'm doing things, making a podcast, I'm out touring all over the country, doing shows, I'm making t-shirts, betweendreamsclothing.com, buy a t-shirt. This podcast is able to be run by the other things that I do, so when you guys go on betweendreamsclothing.com and buy a t-shirt, that helps keep this podcast alive. Or when you go on chrisruggiero.com/book and buy a book, that helps keep this podcast alive, because I just bought new recording stuff and it was really expensive. It takes a lot of time when I sit here and edit on my old laptop that barely works. That takes a lot of time that I could be doing other things. So thank you guys so much for going on, logging on there. People don't log on to the internet anymore. You logged on to AOL. You don't log on. No one says that anymore. The young people are going to think I'm old. Log on to my website and buy things like t-shirts at betweendreamsclothing.com. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Go to Between Dreams Clothing. I think I turned into like radio announcer voice there too, which I don't want to be. Hello and welcome to the show. Yeah, we don't do that. All right, so please buy my book, because I spent a lot of time and I think it's really good. It's chrisruggiero.com/book, and purchase a t-shirt. That's at betweendreamsclothing.com. And we're going to get into this interview here I had with my friend Denny Corby. He's a magician. I never really knew him until recently, and he actually lives somewhat nearby to me. So we kind of crossed paths. We said, hey, you live near me and you do cool things, so we should hang out and do things. So I hung out with him a few times and was like, yo, you should join me for a podcast. And we recorded this podcast in the back of my van in a parking lot. So I don't know why I told you that, but I thought it was kind of interesting. So we talk about, he has a book coming up as well. So we talk about that. We talk about what he does for a living, doing magic shows and speaking at corporate events. So enjoy this with Denny Corby. Share this with your friends. What's your first thing you want to talk about? Let's actually start recording this thing. So talking about personal,
I was trying to listen to some of your podcasts. Like, there's no real structure. It's kind of just like a free for all.
That's what my thing with it is, like, how do I start it? Because I hate this, like, maybe we'll leave this in.
Do it.
How do you start when you're like, because you're talking to somebody, like we're doing right now, and I'm like, okay, let's like shut off this conversation that we're having and turn on this like performer type thing. And it sucks always.
Especially when I'm assuming that, you know, you're reaching out to people you've only maybe had like a brief conversation with before, and you're like, let's do this podcast.
And it's like, I like want them to introduce myself, and I've been trying to figure out a way. So like a couple of them that I did, I would do like a quick little card trick or something. Like for people that I didn't know if I was in person, like, check this out. And like do a card trick, and they'll be like, this is amazing. And then like lightens up the whole thing and it gets started. So this will be our intro.
of how to intro.
So introduce yourself to the listeners.
To the listeners. My name is Denny Corby, and I'm a corporate speaker and entertainer. So I travel the country turning tricks, basically.
So corporate. So what's a typical show that you do? Kind of, what's your typical day? You know, you're going to a show. What's a typical day look like?
Depends if it's fly or drive, but decent amount of travel involved with all that. You know, and then people always think like, oh, you don't do anything for work because you just book shows and you go perform. But it's like, no, it's like your full day technically starts as soon as you wake up and you hit the shower. Because even if the show starts at, you know, 5, 6, 7, you have to, you know, start getting up and showering around noon. So you make sure all your stuff is packed and ready to go. Then if it's, you know, a city that's further away, you have to drive there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously you can't arrive, you know, if the show starts at 7, you can't get there for 5 because it's definitely going to be rush hour traffic. So you're leaving around 2 to get there for 4, and you're waiting around for a while. You can finally go in, set up, like perform for the show. So it's like that 1 hour show technically takes, you know, a full day's worth of work. Which, yeah. You know exactly right. What I'm talking about.
Yeah. Let's get right into some interesting things. Expectations of other people kind of look at you and say, oh, you only do work for an hour a day. So the other side of that is, when you first wanted to kind of start getting into performing, you probably see that like, oh, this is easy. I can just go show up at shows. What's been something that has like been very different now that you're out like professionally performing? What's the biggest thing that's been like different than your expectations as you thought going into it? Like good or bad side of that, or maybe both, a good side and a bad side that's been different.
I knew a little bit going into it what I was getting into. A lot of my really good friends are full-time performers. So over the years from me transitioning from working for one of my family's businesses to doing this, which I quit cold turkey, which was probably not the best idea looking back on it, but it was still fun. I kind of had an idea and a grasp of what I was getting into. Because, you know, even like before I met them, I was like, oh, that's not that hard. Like, they just hang out and perform, when really it's about, you know, you can probably vouch too. It's about 90% business, 10% show.
Yeah.
But, you know, the 10% show makes up for the 90% business. But I have a business background, so I love business and sales and all that stuff. So I don't mind the business side a little bit. To me, I make it more of like a challenge.
Then in the same line as that, what's been the most or one really cool thing that's happened because you're a performer that you wouldn't have gotten out of just being a straight business salesperson?
Yeah.
Something that kind of you've experienced or somebody that you've met.
Well, rewinding a tiny bit, I mean, all of us are in sales. Whether you're, it doesn't matter what position you're in, everyone's in sales.
Right.
If you have a boyfriend, girlfriend, you sold that person on you and vice versa. Like, so no matter what anybody says, everybody's in sales. So that's a whole different conversation too. You know, there's so many cool things. I just think, you know, having, you know, working for yourself, you do kind of get that flexibility of, you're like, oh, I can work today, or I can, if I want to go work from a coffee place or go do whatever, like your schedules are so flexible that, you know, you can have the freedom to do whatever you like. And that's always nice. Like I have, you know, if I want to go to Boston one day and hang out with some friends, I'm like, oh, I'll just shoot them a message. Like, oh, they want to come to Boston tonight, or like, want to go to Connecticut, New York. And so kind of going back, I guess the cool thing, I just can't think of one. It's just, you know, it opens up the door to so many different opportunities and people, especially when, you know, you're a variety act. I'm a magician, mentalist minder, whatever the hell you want to call it. People don't hear that too often. So that just like sparks up cool conversations and people are like really interested in you, which then that makes it difficult for sales and business because you always want to be more interested than interesting. So it's hard to kind of focus on the other person when they're trying to ask you a bunch of questions. But I think it's just the opportunities that arise from, you know, people knowing what you do.
Yeah. What's, you know, you said like when you introduce yourself or something and say whatever you, however you say you, what is the like line that you say if you meet somebody new, like on a, so like the typical thing, like on an airplane, when you have like a very fast thing, but you know you're going to have to talk to this person for a little while. What's your line? Like, what's your title?
So I tend to say, when people ask what I do, I say I'm a corporate entertainer. And most of the time they go, what? And I say a corporate entertainer. And they go, what's that? And I say it's a fancy word for magician. depending on the person, I might say like overpaid magician or like something like that.
Yeah,
but like it's kind of like it gets them a little bit more interested too. So a corporate entertainer, like what? So that kind of prompts them to ask a little bit of questions. I say, you know, I'm a fancy word for magician, but I specialize in corporate events and private high-end events all over the country.
Do you ever feel like you don't want to get into like that performing mode? So you say something different that will prompt less intrigue and less questions?
No, it kind of comes with like the territory. Like you have to go into this knowing that that's going to happen. And it's the same thing with like other industries too, like that happens to people. Like, cause, you know, you meet so many people, like you kind of watch interactions. People are like, oh, I'm a chiropractor. Like, oh, and like, oh, my back's been killing. So it's like the same thing.
Yeah.
People just like, you know, I think it's just like out of habit. Like, oh, show me something. Oh, let me. But then I tend to do like one quick thing. And actually, more recently, people have not been asking you to see stuff, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Especially when other people like introduce you. You know, that, whether it's like networking events or other functions or, you know, whatever it is, people are like, oh my God, this is my friend Denny. He's a, you know, he's a magician for corporate events, this and that. Like, it's almost like they have such a big hype. Then it's like, they don't even want to ask. They're like, oh man, like, I'm like, I don't know if it's afraid or like, but they're like, oh, well, if they talk so highly, he must be good.
Right.
So I kind of think that's kind of cool is when people don't ask to see something.
Yeah.
But then like the business side of me wonders, like, why did they ask? Because, like, they were afraid to ask or, like, they thought I'd get mad. So now I'm trying to figure out, okay, now why didn't they ask? But then I don't want to ask them, why didn't you ask? And that's going to prompt them to ask me. And, like, then I really don't want to do something. So, like, this whole other conversation is going on. But
yeah, I kind of always try to figure that out. I think as a magician, people, that's an easier thing. Because then if someone does say, hey, let me see something, you can probably do something small, like with things in your pocket or just things that you can find on a table or something. And I've been trying to figure out for myself, what do I say? Because I say a juggler, that gives a typically negative, you know, people expect, oh, like that's just like a joke thing. Like, oh, you like do that for fun. It's not, it doesn't feel like a really super professional thing. Then if I say like a variety entertainer, they just don't understand what that
they
is
think
at
you're
all.
A stripper.
Like, yeah.
But I think that might be where it kind of prompted me to come up with corporate entertainer.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, you know, you have the word corporate, which has a nice connotation to it. And then entertainer, like, what do you mean? And that kind of has a different meaning depending on, you know, the person I'm talking to as well. You know, it could be MC, magician, whatever it is.
Right.
So I think, you know, maybe, you know, comedy juggler, you know, corporate juggler is maybe a term then.
Yeah.
When they hear the corporate in front of it, they're like, oh, this guy must be good.
Yeah. And, well, my new thing is say that I have, I've been bouncing around. I forget where I've, saying just that I'm a theater performer. And that's kind of good because a lot of people are just like, they don't understand that. So they just like kind of, sometimes I'm just like, I just don't, that's really with the juggler, you can't really show somebody something. Oh, show me something like then just like you create this whole thing. So I say, oh, I'm a theater entertainer or a theater performer or I have my own theater show, something like that. And it kind of just like people are like, oh, okay. And then if they want to know more, you can dig into it.
Yeah.
But if not, like it feels legit enough that they are okay with it.
For me though, it's like, it's one of those things like, the business and like networking side is like they may not be able to hire me, but they may know somebody who does. So I'm like, I kind of want to give as much information as I can about what I do, because then like, you know, there's been times where like, you know, I kind of tell people like what I do, like, you know, and then they're like, oh, well, we probably, you know, I don't have a, but hey, my friend works for, you know.
And that's where I think we talked about this before, as far as like writing a book, because I'm in almost about ready to have my book in hand. And I know you're working on a book that'll be ready soon. And I think, were you the one who said that the book is basically a glorified business card?
Yeah.
And
yeah, basically.
That'll tie into that. Like, once I have this book in hand, I'm going to basically always have like one or two on me for that reason.
Then you can juggle
like, That's good. I like that. When people say, oh, what's this book about? Oh, I'm a juggler. Juggle and then hit up. But that's an interesting thing, because if you say to somebody, you're a writer, I think that's the same thing as saying you're a juggler, or that people are just like, well, everyone's a writer. Like, everyone says they're a writer. But then you hand somebody a book, I'm like, oh, wow, like, this is for real.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be a nice transition for me. I'm looking forward to that as introductions. Like, yeah, this is mine. People are like, wow, because that just puts you into the next level.
Comedic author? Or no, juggling author. There's something there.
Yeah.
That you can combine the two.
Yeah, and like the title of my book is like Adventures of a Traveling Entertainer, and it's like cool thing on there. I wanted to kind of touch on to the idea of collaboration and working with other people. and how you see the value in that. I know you have worked kind of how we initially got linked up through Barry Friedman, who runs the course, the Showbiz Blueprint, which is like a guide and a help book, basically, for entertainers seeking to go to the next level. And now you're working with Barry Moore. And now you were telling me earlier how you're bringing on additional people into your business to help sell it.
Yep.
So talk a little bit about like the value and your personal experience with creating something that's just you. We all kind of start off with this like the personal brand kind of thing of ourselves. And then it turns into more of a, I don't want to say legit business, but it becomes more of a legitimate full-on thing.
Yeah, that's where a lot of people fail, I think, especially in our industry is, They put the entertainment side first, which that's extremely important. Mm-hmm. But without the business side, you're screwed. Like you need to be focused. You know, for every one magic book you read or entertainment book, you need to read at least like one business book. Like you need to know what's going on. And I talk about that also is like, you know, learning about everything, because when it comes up in conversations, you want to be able to not adapt and change who you are, but know something about everything. So if you're having a conversation with somebody, you know, and they start talking about, you know, whatever, at least you may know a little bit so you don't sound completely dumb. You know, you can throw in some sort of like little comment that may say, hey, I don't know exactly what I'm talking about, but I know about the subject. Uh-huh. I think that's very important. In terms of growing the team, I think I was always doing that, even kind of a little bit before Showbiz Blueprint with some outsourcing stuff. But, you know, it's figuring out what you're good at and what you're not. And, you know, the people who are good at stuff, you know, have them help you out from, you know, accounting stuff, business stuff, which is just like a given. But, you know, we are entertainers and, you know, our time is limited. And, yeah, it was just, you know, growing it to a certain point. And I hate not being busy, so it's helping me stay on that track. And then, you know, collaborating with other magicians as well on some stuff for years. You know, kind of going backwards to in the very beginning, I thought guys who did illusion shows, I was like, oh, that crap is easy. I was like, the girls do most of the work. I was like, it's not that bad. You know, I've helped a friend of mine. Like load in, load out show that watch. I'm like, that's not that bad. So then he goes, hey, the opportunity came. He does. He's been at Six Flags New England for, oh God, I don't know, over 20 years now. His name's David Garrity. He's a really good friend of mine. And he was like, hey, I have an opportunity. Would you like to fill in for me at the park for a few days? And I was like, oh, the illusion shows, that's eat. I was like, God, I was like, oh my God, it'd be so much fun. It was one of those like, I could put, you know, hang out at Six Flags. It's like this whole experience. Like, oh, it'd be fun. I was so wrong about this like illusion show. I was like, there's so much work that goes involved just from the illusion itself, just the verbal and nonverbal communications between you and the staff and the girls and the dancers to, you know, working with some of the props and making sure everything goes right for every show to, you know, it's when you're on stage just by yourself, you need, that's different than being on stage for like an illusion show. So like, you know, the regular gestures in myself, I had to like amplify 10 times more, just, you know, gesturing at things, the way you look, you know, and being comfortable standing there on stage doing absolutely nothing while the girl does something or the illusion's doing something or whatever's going on. It was just an eye-opening experience. So much fun though. And it was one of those, by the time I finally got it, you know, the 2 days were over, 3 days were over. Now I'm like, oh. So now, but I think we're going to work again this year. We're doing some stuff, but
nice.
Last year there were some very tough illusions that were very hard for both the magician side and also for the girl side, just making everything work cohesively. And I was exhausted after every day, just like mentally, it was just, wow. But, no, but that was cool. I think that kind of brings up, you know, talking about different opportunities that come up. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, hey, you've tried something new. I think that's really fun. And taking every opportunity that comes about. I know different magicians, entertainers who are like, they don't take or try everything. Like, granted, it might not be the best fit for you, but what's the worst that's going to happen?
Yeah.
Take it and see what happens. Like, and that's kind of where luck comes into. People are like, oh, like I've had people like, you're so lucky. And I'm like, no, I just take every opportunity. Like, if I have a chance to drive to Boston to meet with a potential client or have an opportunity for something, I'll freaking take it. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Nothing. And I waste a day or two going out there. But what's the best thing that can happen? Something bigger.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, taking every opportunity that comes, and whether it's magic, comedy, juggling, doesn't matter what it is in life, taking every opportunity that you have is just like, I think, so powerful.
Yeah. What do you think there is? Do you think that you are ever, we are having a, I don't know if the listeners at home can hear this, but we are, this will be a good opportunity to introduce our friends that are walking through the parking lot since we're in the back of my van recording.
That sounded creepy.
They can't see us, though. That's what's good. When they walk by, they can't see us because these windows are tinted, so they have no idea that.
But we're they can in hear there. Voices, so it sounds shady.
And before we started, there was a guy like loading his child into the car seat.
Okay, hold on. We have the meter made, and he's just staring us down. So I think he knows. Right. We have a few minutes left.
And now it keeps getting better. Yeah. So we're parked at a meter.
We should tell him this is like police business to see if he like.
And he was just looking at our meter, which has 8 minutes left in it, right? Or are we at zero?
No, we're at eight. It'd be blinking red.
And it was like, so everything is just going down right now.
I still don't know if he saw us. I want him to like walk over and we like hop out of the van, but never.
I was talking to you about when I was. I don't think we ever finished this story. We'll just talk into a different story now. Speaking of official police business, I was out at a show with my buddy Chris Jones, who's a hypnotist. He was on the show. He was on one of the first episodes of the podcast. So go listen to that if you didn't listen to it. And he had his like film crew with him, mm-hmm. and they had like in-ear microphones set up like so they could talk to each other.
Yeah.
And it felt like they have like these little clips and then these little earpieces, and they can talk to each other while they're filming, so they know I need to get this camera angle, whatever. And then we went out afterwards. I forget where we were, somewhere in New York or something. And we went out after, and Chris kind of looks like Drake.
All right.
He resembles Drake slightly. So afterwards, he's like walking around, and he has this like entourage behind him that have like earpieces in, and they're like talking to each other. And then we were doing like I thought it was obnoxious that they were doing. I don't want to say we, but they were like talking like, okay, we got them in sight, we got them in sight, and like, we're in like nightclubs and stuff, and they're like talking on their earpieces, and like it was just
that's funny,
a funny story.
It's kind of like that one video. I don't know if you saw it, was going around Facebook, YouTube. I think it was like last year, the year before, but basically this kid set up this whole fake like celebrity thing where he was inside like NBC Studios. Hmm. And he just like walked in, pretended to like, you know, look around for a few minutes. But in the meantime, outside, he got like a few of his friends to hang out and like a bunch of people who had cameras like all set up. So as he walked out, everyone starts going crazy, starts filming him. He hired like big bouncer guys to like follow him around. So all of a sudden he starts walking through New York City and he amasses this crowd of like thousands of people who are like, oh my God, it's him. And then no one, like, everyone's like, you don't really know it's him. Like you don't even know who it is. But people are just freaking out and like taking pictures. And then like, but it's like the same thing. It's so funny.
Yeah, I think somebody else, one of the, I don't know if it was at Coachella or something, which, or some big music festival or something, people were like, some late night show guy did it where he was like, walk around, said like these fake band names or something.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, are you excited to see this? And they would make up some band name. They're like, yeah, I love this band. Like, what do you like about that band? And they made up this whole thing because people were just jumping on this thing about, oh, they're supposed to like this band or whatever it is.
It sounds like a Fallon thing.
Yeah. It might have been. It was one of the late night guys.
Oh my God. And like, I think they've been doing it like consistently too. Yeah. Like every like big festival, they're like, so what do you think of like the new merger with like the two bands?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, I don't like the sound at all. And people are just like, oh, it's so funny.
So we should be able to figure out a way to do that since like most variety type entertainers don't get like this pop star sensation around them. It's interesting to think about how you can create something like that.
Well, in the book, it's a little bit, I want to say off topic, but there'll probably be some similarities here. But there's a book called The Pumpkin Plan. I forget who the writer is, but it was a fantastic book, and he talks about a whole bunch of different businesses about how they could just be like how they can just kill it and just be like that much better. And he was talking about like this one, there's one section kind of about like bands and music, and he was like, think about the regular band who just goes out, plays their shows, they have a decent following. But he was like, you know, think about if that same band did, for example, I'm trying to like, you know, remember what the book said exactly, but it was something along the lines of, what if that, say, you know, what if like a band who's similar, you know, there's two bands, one just does their normal shows, puts out their Facebook events, and like just hopes people come to their shows and plays and buy CDs. Then you have the other band who is doing that, but as well as they're really cultivating their fan base on all social media. So like, you know, when they're in the studios recording,
they, you know, they put out like a, like an open invite for fans to come in and listen. You know, they'll actively go out to other bars where bands are at, not their own band playing, but go out and support other bands and tell their fans to come with them. Yeah. And they'll like be like, hey, we're all going to be hanging out at, mm-hmm. you know, Mulligan's Bar tomorrow night. Come on. And they'll just like hang out, like not performing, but just like cultivating this like,
yeah.
like experience around like their band. And I'm like, ah, oh, like you don't need to be doing that just for like music. There's that yeah. can be transcribed into so many different things. It's creating that fan base and like that. And now with social media, you can instantly direct with people. Like, you know, I love Brian Tracy. I think he's a Brian Tracy is a good business guy, but also Tom Hopkins. And Tom Hopkins like put out like a tweet, and I like responded, and he like responded back, and I was like, what? Like yeah, it's like yeah. one of those. It's like, you know, you get that like cool sense of like community around it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the. You see that with so many people that are just, again, going back to where you said so many people, the downfall is often worrying so much about the actual show and all this stuff. It's like where most people have, if you're at a certain level, like the show's good, like good. Now yeah. start worrying about the other things that are actually going to create something that's valuable.
Yeah. It's funny. Them. It's funny. You know, you go to magic conventions and whatever types and people are like, that guy's, you know, like he's out there, he's not that good, but blah, blah, blah. But it's like, but he's out there performing and yeah. making money and doing an awesome job. Like, you know, some guys, you know, it's, sometimes it's not killer material, but who cares? As long yeah. as the audience is having fun. And like most of like these great guys who are out there killing it business wise, they're not going to conventions. They don't have time because they're yeah. out there performing right. for a living. You know, when you get around that, you know, but that's a different conversation too. But, you know, it's one of those things. Yeah. So.
Cool. Just wanted to kind of touch on the book that you are working on.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about what that, you know, what the idea behind that is.
Yeah. So, actually I have two books in the works. One I'm co-authoring with a friend of mine, which I'm going to leave it at that. Cause it's, you know, I don't want to count the chickens, whatever that saying is. But we're working on that. That's probably going to be done sooner than my own one. That's taking a little bit of precedence. Just for some certain deadlines, but mine is The Vacation Mindset, and that kind of came from a time when, what was it, 3 years now, 4 years ago now? Time's flying. I was in Mexico with my family at this one resort, and it was like one of those all-inclusive, so everyone's just drinking and having a great time. And I was playing volleyball with like a really eclectic group of people. It was like, you know, me, it was like, you know, the CEO, like the tattooed biker family and like, you know, the newlyweds. It was like this crazy group of people. And we were all just like drinking, having fun, playing volleyball. We'd stop the game, go grab like shots and drinks, come back. Like we were just having an awesome time. And it was after the fact, I was like, what are the odds that all of us would have interacted and had fun like this outside of this type of like arena? And that's kind of where it bubbled from is now, you know, you connect with all these people where the odds are if we were at a bar in our hometown, the odds of all of us to start talking would be like slim to none.
Yeah.
And kind of the book is based off that and just talks about, you know, how many more connections would we have? How many more friendships? How many more acquaintances? How many more business deals? How many more interactions? How much more fuller would our lives be if we just talked and met and hung out with everybody and kind of lived life like we were on vacation?
Yeah. That reminds me of, I really like that because I think so many people fall into it. I fall into it all the time. Like exactly that. Like you're in this, your bubble surrounded by people that you could get along with or like, you know, work together with on these things. And you're just like, you're just letting them go to waste
yeah.
because you're not in that thing. And then it's like, if you are in on the other side of the country and you see somebody with like, you know, whatever, like a hoodie on from yeah. a school that's near you or something. Yeah. Oh, hey, you're from, you know, my home state.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you're friends.
Exactly.
And you realize like, oh, I would have just walked by this person at home, not ever even said hello. And now yeah. it's like this person, just because we had this one common like thing between us that now you're like friends and you... So yeah, that's great.
It's
like,
the same thing.
It's all the same. It's like so good if you could create that. And how do you cultivate that? That experience where you're actually working with people and making good things happen.
Yeah. And it's one of those things like, what's the worst case scenario something's going to happen? Someone's not going to want to talk to you. Ooh, like
yeah.
best case is, right. you know, you hang out with these people, you have a quick conversation. Is there something in common? Like, hey, you know, whatever, you know, you find each other on LinkedIn or Facebook and you never know what might come from that.
give a little teaser into what the like what's a practical thing, a practical tip for people that want to use that, want to like connect more with their people that are around them. What do you think would be you know, your number one?
Just going out and ask, you know, like, there's another really good business book. It's called Never Eat Alone. I think the book says it all, but, I don't know how,
it's a good title.
I don't know how he turned like 200 or 300 pages into this book, right? I still kept reading. But the book is, you know, Never Eat Alone. It just basically talks about like, don't eat like alone. There's so many opportunities to, you know, most people for like lunch, they like, you know, stay at their cubicle, stay in their workspace, stay whatever. Or they, you know, they have lunch with the same people they eat lunch with every day. That's not going to help you.
Yeah.
You know, you, what's, you know, there's 5 days, technically 6 days, 7 days a week you can eat with somebody. You know, take that time, especially if you're in sales. We're all in sales. We'll talk about that. But if you're in sales, take somebody out to eat. At least, you know, take one person out. You know, it's one of those. Now you're meeting or getting better relationships with over 300 people a year.
Yeah.
What's that going to translate into?
Yeah.
Whether, you know, move more friendships, more acquaintances. It's the same thing. And, you know, and once you start frequenting those more places, you know, then they start to know you, and that's a different kind of subtopic as well. But, you know, it doesn't even have to be lunch. Just it could be coffee, it could be whatever. But just, you know, if there's somebody who you've been meaning to meet up with, send them a message, send them a Facebook message, send them a text. Hey, coffee, like, you know, tomorrow or next week, whatever. If there's somebody who you want to try and meet, send them a message. Like, hey, I don't know, you know, I'm trying to think if they're like, you know, a local author or something. Like, oh my God, I love like all your work. Would love to have a conversation with you over like lunch or something.
Yeah.
What's the worst case someone's going to say is no? Oh my God, who cares? Then you just move on to like the next person that you want to talk to. Like, it's, you can't be afraid of like rejection. Like, if you don't ask, you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something that I've been kind of pushing towards. I think for a while I fell into a trap of kind of thinking about that. And I would talk to somebody, you know, it was like somebody online or whatever, somebody new or some old friend, like, hey, like, we should hang out soon. Yeah, like, let me know. And it's like this like vague language that we use, even like, and this is, I like how you put that into this broad thing where we can, you know, it's valuable for performers and people who are out traveling, but also, like you said, people that are at an office eating in their cubicle instead of going out and meeting with their coworkers or whatever. So it's not people that are traveling. It's every aspect of that is valuable no matter what you're doing. And same thing for this, like, whether you're sending an email to somebody or whatever world you're living in, we all have these like vague statements that we say, like, let me know when you're free so we can hang out. That's never going to turn into anything.
Never.
So it's like you always have to do, and this kind of pushes into where my book, which is coming out soon, goes into. So the title of the book is Just Go. So it's kind of, as in, take action, do it now. What I'm trying to focus more on lately, get to the point here, I've been rambling on about this, is that instead of saying, hey, let me know when you're free, like, let's meet up sometime soon, it was just never going to turn into anything, say, hey, tomorrow at 3:30, how does that work?
Or Tuesday at 5. Like, just give like, two different options.
Yeah, and then it's like, then they are forced to either say, you're not going to get a maybe, you're forced to either a yes or a no, and then if they say no for 5 times that you ask, you're like, okay, now they, maybe they're just being nice.
Yeah,
and then,
it goes and back then, to basic sales, you know, if you're trying to get an appointment or something, it's like, hey, can I call you tomorrow at 10 a.m., or does like 3 work better?
Yeah.
And giving that like little option, if none of those work, they're more prompted to say, no, but you know, 12:30 works better, or tomorrow at 9. Like, you know, it opens it up more than if they were just to, you know, see one time, like, oh no, I'm not, and they can just not respond easier.
Yeah, and this sounds, for most people listening, probably it sounds like something so simple and basic that like it's not worth talking about, but I know, because I fall into it still. Like, I know these things, but you still fall into it. I think that's like a take home for everyone. Figure out ways to give these definite things. Don't leave anything that you do open-ended.
Yeah.
And it goes into your own language as well. Something personal for me is like, I'm trying to, I just did it right there. And this is another thing that Barry forced me to do. I told him through, I was talking to him about like adding something into my show.
Yeah.
Like, that was completely different. And he was like, okay, so what are you, like, what's the next step?
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'll try to work on this and add this in this week. And he was like, say that again. I was like, I'm going to try to get this into my show this week, like, get the first steps rolling. He was like, say that again. I was like, okay, now I don't understand. What am I saying wrong here? And he said, when we say I'm trying to add this into my show this week, we're leaving ourselves to be, well, I tried.
Yeah.
So, like, now it's like I'm saying, and I just said it before, I was like, I'm trying to move to California. And you keep saying things like that. I'm hoping to move out there soon, or I'm trying to get everything to go out there. And if you start saying that, then like you're allowing yourself these excuses later. Well, exactly. I did try. Yeah, I said I was going to try. It just didn't work out. And you just do all this stuff where you say like I'm moving on this date. Like you just start to put all your pieces into place. So whatever you do, people at home, stop leaving things in these open-ended. These open-ended things that allow yourself to fail and allow yourself to have excuses and just hold yourself accountable and, you know, hit these specifics.
It's like that problem. It's like, you know, you're busy all day and then, you know, at like night, you're like, what the fuck did I do all day? Like, you're like, I don't remember what I did.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to make more like lists of everything, whether it's simple things like laundry, dishes, just stupid, from big things to small things, putting on a list. And then when you start checking stuff off, you start feeling better. You're like, oh, I'm getting so much done.
Yeah.
And then, like, same, like, going back is, you know, I hate not having things to do on my calendar. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm not doing shows or whatever, I need to be doing something.
Yeah.
So that's when I try to schedule in coffees, whatever. Like, I just try to put stuff, like, on my calendar so I'm just physically busy. Like, I hate being home, too. Like, so I can schedule a coffee with somebody. Like, hey, let's go grab coffee. Or, like, you know, like, after lunch, just something just to keep the ball moving. Just to, because, you know, it might be, like, people like that you know, but it could be, like, one of those conversations where, you know, that now boils into, you know, like an older friendship you haven't talked to in a while. You start talking about what you did, what they did, and like they'd be like, oh, I didn't know, I forgot you do this. We're having a holiday party at my company. Mm-hmm. So like little things that might come up are like, I love connecting people. I love bringing people together. So that's why I'm always like trying to figure out what people are trying to do, what they're doing, and be like, oh, you're trying to do that? My friend's actually looking for a position there.
Yeah.
I might link you guys up because I think that, you know, you guys might be a good fit together. Like, so I just love bringing people together, and then that's a whole different conversation about, you know, bringing value to conversations and stuff. But
right, and we're on a good like efficiency talk here.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something. I don't think I ever talked about this on the show, but as far as like making lists, like a to-do list for like, okay, tomorrow I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. and that's good because you'll say, okay, I do this and this and this. But it sometimes still, like, leaves it open where you're like, oh, I didn't get to this, but at least I did these others. Mm-hmm. Where it still opens up that possibility that you're not going to, you know, be accountable for everything that you do. I forget who talked about this, but somebody else was talking about this. And instead of do a to-do list for the next day, at the end of your day, write what you did list.
Yeah.
A done list.
Success list.
Yeah. I achieved this, this, and this today. And then, so now going into the next day, like, oh, I need to do that and more. So that's something that, again, that I've been trying. It's a hard thing to do, but it's another valuable thing for people at home to do is, you know, and do both. Tomorrow I'm going to do this, but then at the end of the day, make sure you achieve, you know, show. And that shows you, oh, I actually achieved more today than I thought I was going to, and then do more the next day, and just endless cycle of that.
I try to overcommit more than I undercommit.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, because you can always, like, move schedules around, do things. So I'd rather be too busy than not busy enough. And I think, you know, I like to, as much as I can, sometimes I forget at night, but I love to, like, write down my goals in the morning, then write them down at night, kind of write down kind of my main, you know, what I really want to achieve during, like, the day. And when I say goals, you know, to me it's, you know, bigger things, like, and I kind of speak in like the I statement. So instead of saying like, you know, one day I'd like to do this. It's like, I'm doing this. Like make as if it's happening right now. Like, like I want like a Lamborghini. So like, so I drive a Lamborghini. Just like, I think it sounds corny and shit, but like that kind of mental focus kind of gets you going. And then I kind of like to write down what I really want to accomplish during the day. And then at the end, you know, kind of like any good, like successes.
Yeah.
And then obviously, and do the thing first that's going to annoy you or you find the hardest, or just get it done and do that in the morning. So it's kind of done. And the rest of the day is all the other stuff.
Yeah. Cool. Well, our meter in the van is blinking at zero, which means I think we need to wrap this up. So let's do...
Which is always a good way to wrap things up is when the meter's down.
I like this. I think this is a...
It's a very whorish method. It's like, oh, the meter's up. You're done. Like,
yeah, time's
finish up.
Get out of here. I like this as a new podcast format. Like, get in the car, add a meter... And then you just, like, you have this deadline. You have, like, again, it's like you're forced into this thing that you have to get accomplished.
And then we should just add the sign for free candy for next time and see what happens. But
yeah, exactly. So what else, what do you want, anything else you want to talk about to promote yourself before we wrap this up? Or what can we see from you in the future? Or what, you know, what do you have coming up that we can, that those guys can find a little bit more about you?
Yes. So I'm all over the social media sites, at Denny Corby for everything, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I try to keep up with Twitter as much as I can now. The vacationmindset.com is my book website, and then from there, I'll probably post what the other book project is as well. DennyCorby.com is my personal site. And I have so many things going on, which, you know, just boils down to opportunities. Potentially a local TV show. They might be giving me my own show.
Nice.
Which is nothing big, but hey, it's an opportunity. You never know what might come from it. And just from that alone, there's different projects we have going on underneath that with the station. And I wish I kept track, right? Or have like a list, but there's so much crap going on. But I think it's good things. For the people, I just recommend pick up a business book or just try and read something of value, mm-hmm. whether it's something new, something old. The average person reads less than one book a year, whereas the average CEO and business person reads over 60.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of, it gets the brain going, gets the brain working. I'm not saying you have to be or want to be a CEO, but it's like, you know, it's nice to talk the talk and walk the walk a little bit when you talk to some of these people. So I try to read as many business books as I can. I had a goal to read 104 for this year. I think I'm up to 15, which is no, it's, if I hit the goal, great, but I'd rather have a higher goal and come up short than a lower goal and come up short. But yeah, so I just recommend, you know, meeting new people and reading as much as you can about just business. So.
Cool. So go do that.
Oh, I will. And they will too, hopefully.
Yes.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for coming to the van.
So do I pay you now or later?
Okay. We'll cut that. All right, that's a wrap. Thank you all very much for listening and sharing with your friends. Check out Denny, as he said, on his website, Denny Corby, or on the social media, your favorite social media. He is at Denny Corby. As always, you can find me at chrisruggiero.com and Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat at One Man Variety. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.